Good morning. Good morning. Let's talk a little bit about the balance in tshuva. Tshuva is an odyssey into a very dark place of the human psyche. It has to be dark. Part of the challenge is to turn tshuva from something clinical and seasonal. Tshuva can't be a calm, tranquil moral inventory. Let me sit back and conduct a moral inventory, where I've done right, where I've done wrong, and how can I improve. That's very clinical, that's very relaxed, that's very tranquil. Tshuva has to be riotous. It has to be a scathing search for truth, a scathing descent into the dark recesses of areas you don't normally. I always tell you, and I'll say this again throughout the year, throughout the month, the best way to find the real flaws of yourself that have to be corrected is to follow the pain. Normally when we think about something about ourselves that causes us pain, we turn away, we wince. We'd rather not think about it. During the month of Elul, follow the pain. Because when you feel pained about something, you're touching a raw nerve. You're uncovering something that really hurts, that you've suppressed, that you've covered the rest of the year. And in Elul is the time to follow the pain. So there's a lot of pain and a lot of sadness. In Megillas Eicha, there are three psukim that describe Bechira Chavshis. Hashem doesn't decide good and evil. Man makes those decisions. Absolute freedom of choice. Therefore, a person should be in mourning on his sins. But then you can perform tshuva. These are the three psukim in Megillas Eicha in the third parak that contain a synopsis of Bechira Chavshis. Because there are three psukim for each letter. And then the note, Nachum Sadur Chena Benachkara. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to point out that you're not supposed to just regret tshuva, but Ma Yisonein, you're an Onein. Do you imagine it's moving? It's moving. Imagine being an Onein. Why are you an Onein? Because every time you perform tshuva, you're burying someone. Someone has died. Who has died? Your own potential. The Rambam says we were all born with Moshe Rabbeinu potential, and we've since buried that potential in our weaknesses, in our failure, in our squandered opportunity. So tshuva is dark, but it could become too much darkness. And you have to be careful not to get lost in the darkness of tshuva. And in particular, one trait in tshuva which is absolutely necessary and vital, not just in tshuva but in life. Sadly, in the modern world, that trait has been almost eradicated from the human consciousness. You have to make sure that you feel that trait, but not too much of that trait. And what trait am I referring to? The trait of guilt. In today's world, there's an attempt to try to eliminate guilt. Finger-pointing, victimization, identity politics. It's not my fault, it's because we were... On a personal level, your psychologist will tell you too much guilt is dangerous, and it is. But if you don't feel any guilt, you don't have any conscience. Guilt is the soft whisper of your conscience telling you you failed. And listening to that conscience is absolutely vital for growth. If you don't listen to your conscience, you don't adjust between expectations and reality, then there's never any correction. It's always just a moral spiral, moral freefall. So guilt is a very, very healthy trait. It's associated with duty, it's associated with conscience, it's associated with responsibility, and you should feel guilty for failures in life. And during the month of tshuva, you should feel more guilty, avol hashem imanachnu, for your best. But in life and in tshuva, sometimes too much guilt, inability to wear and to bear guilt, can be overwhelming. And you can slip into despair, and you can slip into gloom, and you can slip into basically giving up. A lot of people who leave religion is because guilt builds, and it builds, and it builds, and there's no natural way to deal with guilt. And the only way to release the guilt is to break free, and to simply disassociate, say, I'm walking out. And to a degree, Elisha ben Avuya felt that. The Gemara Chagiga tells us, we'll see at a certain point. Who in Tanakh felt an excess of guilt? It seems as if Reuven was unable to manage that guilt. We see two stages in Reuven's chatoim. The first stage seems to be very, very severe. Vayishka Reuven is Bila. That Reuven has some sexual interaction with his father's wife. The Gemara in Shabbos has several opinions, many of which claim that it wasn't incest, or incest his father's wife, but it wasn't an actual sexual infraction. It was just too much invasion of Yaakov's private world. He rearranged the beds. He defended his mother Leah's honor after Rachel had died. Why are you spending time with Bilhah, not spending time with Leah? But either way, it was a sin. Possibly a very severe sin. Possibly a more nuanced sin. Okay? The next time we see Reuven is attempting to rescue Yosef. So he comes in Parshas Vayeshev, Reuven, al tishbuchu. He hears, v'yatzileu mi'adam, al tishbuchu dam, don't spill his blood. So they throw him into the bar. And then at some point the caravan passes, and Yehuda leads the process of selling him. And then Reuven comes back a few seconds later. Vayashav Reuven el habar, v'nei ein yosef babar, v'gras begadav. So Reuven was absent during the sale. Vayashav Reuven el habar. He was the hero. He was meant to save Yosef. And he's absent during the critical moment when the sale is effected. Where is he? Vayashav Reuven el habar. So Chazal tell us, language of Chazal, Hayasuk b'sako v'taniso. He was too busy fasting and crying, presumably over the sin of Parshas Vayishlach, Chazal tell us. He was too busy crying and fasting and saying, Al-Chayt, and it's happening again, and I'm involved in another, and the sky is falling, and Hashem's going to punish me, and I'm guilty again. And he was crippled, he was handicapped to actually take any action that could have changed history. Could you imagine how history would have been altered if this sin Aschinam didn't erupt? Had they reached some sort of rapprochement? He could have empowered himself, and instead he enfeebled himself. And what enfeebled him? Guilt. He was too much guilt. Had he not fasted an extra time, had he not spent more time, he could have been there on location, and he could have saved Reuven. He could have saved Yosef. And he didn't, because there was too much guilt. And you sense this a little bit later in Parshas Miketz. In Parshas Miketz, the brothers are being manipulated. They don't know what's happening to them. So, you find the pasuk. So, Vayem Rishon Achiv Aval Hashem Manachna, we're guilty. So the brothers acknowledge and they process it. Then what does Reuven say? Vayan Reuven Osam Lemar. Hello, Amarti Alechem. I told you, Al Techetu Bayalev Lo Shematem Eli, Begam Damoy Nidrash. This is a time for leadership, not for panic. You know the difference between leadership and panic? Well, there's a lot about difference, but one difference is you don't throw your teammates under the bus. When people are suffering, you don't point fingers. The brothers aren't pointing fingers. The brothers are just saying, we're all guilty. Abel Shem Manachna. Reuven's a finger pointer. Abel Shem. I told you this is going to happen. And the second role of leadership is to keep things calm. You don't get to DEFCON 5 right away. Keep things calm. Oh, we're going to die. He talked about death. Begam demo in Nidrash. He talked about death. We'll solve this. We'll go to jail. We'll find a lawyer. We'll solve it. Reuven is just so overwhelmed with guilt. So overwhelmed with the guilt of now the double guilt of Bilhah and the failed opportunity. He just can't climb out of the guilt. To the point that there's something shocking. Well, this I'll show you. So finally, now Shimon's been imprisoned, and now they have to try to convince Yaakov to go down and send Binyamin. So, what happens? So first Reuven tries, and he fails. And then Yehuda succeeds. So, what does Reuven try to do? Vayomer Reuven el aviv lemor. He tells them, I promise you I'll return Binyamin. If I don't return Binyamin, what does Reuven offer Yaakov? Eshnei banai tamis. You can kill my two sons. What in the world is going on here? Why would Yaakov be placated if he loses Binyamin, that two of Reuven's sons, his own grandchildren, will also be killed? Chazal say this is a bechor shote. This is a stupid comment. Reuven wasn't stupid. What caused him to say this? Why was he looking to lose two of his children? He's looking for closure. People who feel too much guilt, they're looking for closure. They're looking to expunge that guilt. They're looking to purge it. They're looking for catharsis. Who overcame his guilt when he lost two sons and was able to move on? Yehuda. In Parshas Vayeshev, Yehuda loses two of his sons, Aaron and Onan. And somehow he's able to process his own guilt, get past it, move on, and become a leader. Reuven is almost jealous of Yehuda. I'm looking for a way to get past guilt. And maybe it will take two of my children being killed. It's sad. Learn in life to manage guilt. Don't ignore guilt, but don't get caught up in guilt. Learn to move on in guilt. Learn to accept your failures. Learn to forgive yourself and excuse yourself. Don't get lost in it. Don't run away from responsibility and duty by escaping from guilt. Learn to bear guilt and to wear guilt and to handle guilt. Seems like Reuven is having a hard time. In part, what I'll talk about this maybe tomorrow because it's already too late. Maybe tomorrow I'll talk about the second aspect of Reuven's struggle to find recovery from chait. So a lot of tshuva is not just finding your flaws, but learning how to handle them without being thrown into a free fall, into a spiral. Okay, we'll talk maybe a little bit tomorrow about something else. Have a good day, everyone. Have a good day. Actually, tomorrow, there's no shir.